And welcome back to another one of my 78 RPM podcasts. Well, this, of course, is my Christmas one. Now, I'm sure you know that quite often around Christmas, you miss Christmas because the post has taken too long. And what I'm about to play you is an example of that. Ranald Werrenrath was a baritone, born in 1883 and died in 1953. He was the sort of person, rather like the American equivalent of Peter Dawson, a good solid baritone who could sing anything from what was then popular songs, this is pre-jazz era of course, from that to opera, and he was a good enough opera singer not only to sing at the Metropolitan Opera in New York, but when he did so, he was in the same cast as Enrico Caruso, no less than he. By that time, Werrenrath was a common name on Victor Records, and therefore was sort of a name. He wasn't, say, Caruso or anything like that, but you could see his name quite often. And thus it was that he made a Christmas message for children in 1923. So this has taken rather a long time to get here, getting on for 100 years, and you'll hear him speak and give a message, and you'll hear him singing snatches of various songs that would have been known at the time. So let's go back to 1923, just 2 years before the recording microphone came in, and hear Ranald Werrenrath give us his Christmas message. Incidentally, about 6 years later, now in the electrical era, he's supposed to have made another private Christmas message, including such people as Harpo Marx on the recording. So although he was a serious singer and later taught singing and worked in music schools, the man obviously had a good sense of humour too. Here is then Ranald Werrenrath giving you his Christmas message of 1923.
Courtesy of the Victor Talking Machine Company, thanks for the ad, Max. I'm sending this Christmas, New Year's, holiday greeting to all my little boy and little girl pals, wherever they may be. What a lucky guy a fella is to have such friends. Now, cut out that soft stuff, will you? I mean this. Just because I was over to Charlie's and Helen's house in Wincote last night, there's no use kidding me. However, comma, wherever you are, Max and Grace in St. Louis, Zeb in Nashua, my two Stevies in Boston and New York, Aunt Kitty in Portland, Maine, Roy and Lillian in Kansas City, Deems, Nisa, Art, Frank and Minna, Cass and Irene, Herc and Honey, and all my own New York gang, Lynn in Jackson, Michigan, Carl, Jane, Jim in Miami, hope you're fine now, Jim, Jack and Tom in Washington, Charlie and Helen in Detroit, Bob in Saranac Lake, my own room, Six Bunch in Chicago, Wilford in, no, on, Shazy Lake, even Frank and Brielle and Janie, God love her, wherever she is. To all of you and the rest, here's good luck. And a few experts from some of the old favorites. Let's go.
Father done with Danny D, but you can hear the quick step fly. The regiment in column and they're marching us so high. Oh, the young recruits are shaking, and they'll want their beer to die after hanging Danny Fever in the morning. Drink for me only with thine eyes, and I will play with mine.
Oh, years too, you fuzzy wuzzy, at your home in the Sudan, you're a poor United Eden, but a first-class fighting man. We give you your certificate, and if you want it signed, we'll come and have a romp with you whenever you're inclined. I saw a lad in khaki, in khaki, in khaki. Going home, I'm a-goin'.
land and I, where the flying fishes fly. And the dawn comes up like thunder, all for China, cross by. The little star of Tula, call me home. The little star of Tula, call me home.
Reinald Werenroth. What I like about that recording most of all is the stuff at the beginning where the accompanying band is sort of taking the mickey out of him. It shows that people never really change. A century on, we're still the same, making fun of anything that's too sentimental and sloppy. Well, you couldn't get much further from that in the work of another American artist than that of Louis Jordan. I've played with tracks before, I know. This is one of his later recordings, I think. And, of course, this is a miserable Christmas song because he's lost his baby and only Santa Claus can bring her back to him. But this is Louis Jordan singing Santa Claus, Santa Claus. He was born, of course, in 1908, died in 1975, so he wasn't that old when he died. And of course, he's the missing link between jazz and rock and roll, at least in my book he is. And when they want to, his little quintet can outswing just about anybody. This is, as I say, one of the more slower tunes, Louis Jordan, entreating Santa Claus to bring back his baby so that he can have a happy Christmas as well. Louis Jordan, Louis Thomas Jordan.
Santa Claus, Santa Claus, I'm in misery. If you want to make me happy, bring my baby back to me. When you come this year, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, when you come this year, forget that high dramatic kitty car, I just want my baby. I want you to tell your reindeer when you're on your way, please, please be extra careful. My baby's on your sleigh. Santa Claus, Santa Claus, I'll see you Christmas Day. When you bring my baby, I'll bring her back to stay. Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, if you hear my plea, listen to me. Make it down my chimney.
Needless to say, during World War One, people needed cheering up, especially at Christmas, and a lot of that was down to musical performers. This recording is indeed from 1916, the year in which the Battle of the Somme had just taken place. Back then, one of the most popular forms of comedian was the daft northerner sort of performer, the most famous of which was, of course, George Formby, and later on his son of the same name. He, of course, came from Lancashire. The chap I'm going to play you now was more of a Yorkshire comedian. There were two or three of those, all very famous. Jack Pleasance died before he was 50, only 8 years after making this recording. He was most famous for being daft and shy, one of his most famous hits being I'm Shy, Mary Ellen, I'm Shy, a song which is still known to this day. Here, though, he's obviously been to a Christmas party last year and was a bit of a disaster because in those days there was no TV or radio. You had to make your own entertainment, and apparently he couldn't sing. And so now he's learning a song for this year. Notice how near the mark they could be in those days before radio, when there was less censorship. He talks about somebody's wife running a bath as she ran past the room, and then he got up to see, which was supposed to be a note, but of course it means something else as well. Be that as it may, here is this recording of Jack Pleasance back in 1916, learning a song for Christmas.
Christmas night, cause I couldn't sing and I couldn't recite. The girls called me Slacker and other rude names, and wouldn't kiss me when they played parlor games. But I'll show 'em something next Christmas, you see. I've turned up me jobbin' between you and me. I'm learning a song for Christmas, to sing upon Christmas night. Oh, oh, how does it go? This is the only part I know. Ha, 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 kiss me, kiss. I hope I shall get it all right. Oh, I shall look about with my little brown jug when I sing it on Christmas night. Yes, and I think it'll be a good song for Christmas, the little brown jug. It's better than a little bit of heaven. There's nothing in that. But there is something in the little brown jug. At least there is if my father hasn't drunk it. Of course, I hope they'll call upon me at a proper time on Christmas night. I mean, if they call on me too early, I shan't be warmed up. And if they call on me too late, I shall be full up. Oh, and I'm going to come out in my dress suit. Mind you, before I come out in my dress suit will have to come out. Yes, and I'm practicing hard every day now. Well, I've started taking singing lessons. I went round to the teacher's house last night, and although I saved myself, I was in fine form. I ran up the scale. I got up to F. Then I got up to G. And just as I was getting up to A, something white ran past the door. He said, it's all right, it's only the wife, she's just been having a bath. And would you believe it, I actually got up to sing. To sing upon Christmas night. Oh, oh, how does it go? This is the only part I know. Ah, 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 I hope I shall get it all right. All I shall look about with my little brown jug when I sing it on Christmas night.
And now we leap all 40, 50 years to the next recording, made right at the end of the 78 RPM period in 1959. I think I may have told you once before that the first record I ever bought down the Portobello Road Market when I was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old, when I started collecting the records of great opera singers, was a recording of Caruso singing Cantique de Noël with a sort of bite out the side of it. I still got that record somewhere. I played you Caruso's version of this some time ago. I also sent you a recording of the great Paul Plançon singing it. The last of the great tenors was Jussi Björling, and I actually heard him live at the Royal Albert Hall around 1958, right towards the end of his life, and this was recorded about a year later. He doesn't quite have the glory, richness, and tenderness of Caruso's version of this. He caressed notes somehow. Nevertheless, Björling had a wonderful voice, and this is a recording of his version of the Cantique de Noël, unusually sung in Swedish, and it's quite a long version, but it's worth playing to you. So here is the great Jussi Björling singing Cantique de Noël by Adolf Adam in 1959 in Swedish. Maybe that's nearer to where Santa Claus lives, so fair enough.
Thank you.
And from the last of the great operatic tenors recorded in the late 50s, let's take you back to the late 20s and somebody who wasn't exactly one of the great singers. However, he was one of the great musical variety acts. I've played you tracks by Billy Bennett before. Constrained as he was by not being able to talk about all sorts of topics and certainly not using any swear words or getting too, shall we say, sexy, Billy Bennett's solution was to go completely surreal and things don't make any sense at all, and that's how he got his humour. Well, this is December, it's Christmas, and that means we're getting into winter. I've played you one of his specifically titled Christmas songs before, but this time it's a misquote of Keats, which seems to have been the inspiration for this lyric. If winter comes, can spring be far behind, I believe is the quote, if I've got it right. I haven't read that since my days many years ago when I was doing A-level. However, If Winter Comes has been the inspiration for a much more ridiculous set of verses this time. So, Billy Bennett in 1929 performing on record, If Winter Comes.
The world is full of sunshine. The birds are full of song. The happy, humble homes are full of hope. The pubs are full of swallows. The bagpipe's full of wind. And the barber's cat is full of hair and soap. The bees are full of beeswax. The tripod full of tripe. And the plumbers that I meet are full of plum. The bus is full of bustle. And the powder's full of earth. But the world will lose its smile if winter comes. If winter comes, you'll find the roses dead. If winter comes, you'll find the noses red. If winter comes, we'll all be frozen to the bone. If one can't sleep together, then two must sleep alone. If summer goes, it's Pancake Tuesday. If winter comes, it's Sheffield Wednesday. A lady in our village, in the simple life to lead. She wears a daring costume that resembles Mother Eve. But when Christmas time approaches, there'll be only holly leaves. So she's hoping for the best if winter comes. Let me sit down for a minute, sir, till I watch all the seasons go by. There's a season for cricket and ludo, and the season they put in pork pie. Nature is rich in the springtime. Spring mattress, spring onion, spring chick. If a Scotchman sits down on a thistle, then it's springtime as soon as he clicks. Summer's the time for the seaside, where you'll see all the ladies on view. You can see a lot more in the sunshine. You can see more than that in review. Autumn's the time when the leaves fall, for Adam said, I won't be done. But when he got there, the cupboard was bare. So he said, what a good boy am I. Winter is chock full of winter, and the girl's feet are frozen, I'm told. So marry a man that has whiskers, to stuff in your socks when it's cold. Was inside a pork butcher's window, on one of these cold winter's nights. And I pitied the poor little sausage, with nothing to wear but its tights. When up jumped a little black pudding and said this shop is a disgrace, the black pudding shouted, I'm freezing, and with cold he went white in the face. Outside in the street was a robin picking up crumbs on the track, but the robin slipped down on an iceberg and his red breast slipped right up his back. If winter comes, you'll find the roses dead. If winter comes, you'll find the noses red. If winter comes, we'll all be frozen to the bone. If one can't sleep together, then two must sleep alone. If summer goes, it's Pancake Tuesday. If winter comes, it's Sheffield Wednesday. Last year we had a pudding, would have been all right, no doubt. But Ma boiled it in the kettle and we couldn't get it out. So we had to take it in our turn and suck it through the spout. So we're hoping for the best if winter comes.
the wonderful Billy Bennett, who knew exactly how far he could go without exciting the interest of the censors of the day. My late father was a big fan, and I can see why. My father would have been 100 years old this month, so I have him in mind at the moment. Well, also this month, I've been working on a discography for a very famous and yet somehow underrated singer of the very early days of recording, and his name was Emilio de Gorgorza. He was born in Brooklyn from Spanish parents, but was whisked off back to Spain, where he grew up, and only returned to New York when he was about 20. In that time, he'd obviously had vocal training, and because of his mixed upbringing, he was fluent in Spanish and English, but also had an ear for languages and could sing equally well in French, Italian, and even once in German. However, if you look at pictures of him, he looks a bit like a sort of rather dull accountant, although perhaps the twirl of his moustache gives him away. He could be a surprisingly passionate singer. And he was obviously interested in what was then new technology, because he was one of the first people to record for Bettini, who was recording cylinders in New York in the 1890s. His recordings then date from 1899. He was born in 1872, just a year before Caruso, to put him in context. He then went on to be one of the first people to record for Columbia, but finally jumped ship and from 1901 or so till 1927 recorded for Victor. And not only that, he became a sort of an A&R man for them and persuaded lots of his famous operatic friends to record for the Victor label. That's why you get people like Emilio de Gorgorza's second wife, with whom he was together for 25 years, Emma Ames. And that's probably why Caruso chose Victor to record for. So we owe a lot to Emilio de Gorgorza. He also recorded a lot of dross, to be brutally frank, overly sentimental and religious ballads of the day. But when he sang operatic arias, he was as good as just about anybody. His voice also never deteriorated. The voice is the same in 1927 as it had been in the very early years of the century. So perhaps he's underrated and ignored by record collectors because maybe his records are so common. You find them all over the place. He also recorded on not just the red label, but the cheaper black labels under a nom de recording of Herbert Goddard, if it were in English, and Carlos Francisco, if it were in Spanish or Italian. Well, one of the songs he recorded, and he did tend to record the same thing again and again over the years, one of the songs he recorded was the great hit by a gentleman called Di Capua, which we associate with tenors these days. It was the second million seller of all time when sung in 1916 by Enrico Caruso, and it was even sung with different words by Elvis Presley. It is, of course, O Sole Mia, and as I say, there are various recordings by De Gorgorza of this. His last one, in the mid-20s, is already through the microphone, and by this time he'd realized that it's best to sing it with a Neapolitan accent, and so instead of singing O Sole Mio, he sings O Sole Mia, as Caruso would have done. So, let's hear the wonderful singer and underrated voice of Emilio de Gorgorza singing a song you all know, and I hope that this leads to you having a very Merry Christmas, Emilio de Gorgorza.
From the other.
Brings me to my own track, and looking back through all the songs and bits and pieces that I've given you of mine, I don't think I've ever given you a song which somebody once described as my epic song, and the reason I haven't included it before is it's a trifle on the long side, but I think maybe I can fit it in today. So, this is a song which was once about to be recorded by Bing Crosby. I met him sadly, just a week before he died. We didn't either of us know that at the time, of course. He was backstage having just finished his last performance at the London Palladium in, I think, 1976. And he was about to record this. Well, I'm getting up to the age now where I can sing it, so I've recorded it. And it's a song called I Belong. And with that, I wish you a fond au revoir till the next podcast, which will be on the 1st of January, around the time of which hopefully I will be on the cusp of finishing my annual income tax returns, a horrible thing that I have to do every year, and I usually set to it just after Christmas. So, without more ado, my song, I Belong. Until the next time, again, au revoir. Drifting through my years, I seldom stopped to think. No time for fears, but when I found myself alone, I asked myself, do I belong? I belong. I've loved, loved and lost each time. And how I cried when I was in my prime. And though I fell in love again, when could I say, now I belong? So fly, why should I remember the time leading to
September, the days hurried through as if they knew that only you could find where I belong. They say never count the cost, and then you turn to find what you have lost. But you gave all there is to give, a place to go where I belong. You are by my side. Oh, how my heart fills with joy and pride to think that you have come to me and let me see that I belong. I belong. So fly, why should I remember the time leading to September, the days hurried through as if they knew that only you could find. Below.